Hey everyone, welcome to the Grow VC, Everyone Funding Startups podcast. I'm Brett Bivens. With me today is Lyle Slusny, co-founder of LoftFi. Lionel's an expert in capital and risk management, and he has extensive experience researching both the peer-to-peer and the crowdfunding markets. He's extremely well-respected within the industry, and we are very, very pleased to have him with us. So, Lionel, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Thanks for receiving me. Hello to everyone. So, today we're going to talk about the impact of crowdfunding on traditional finance, right, Brett?
Yep. We'll be focusing on how, you know, the emergence of crowdfunding has really, you know, it's already started, but in the future it'll have even greater impact on the traditional finance sector and on banks. And, you know, as the viewers can tell from the introduction, Lionel is, you know, extremely qualified to discuss this. So before we dig in to that, can you give us a little bit more background on yourself and about LoftFi?
Sure. So Loft Finance stands for bridging gaps between traditional finance and the crowdfunding community. We have been founded last year with a group of experts coming from the banking sector and the asset management sector, and we stand for helping crowdfunding platforms, crowdfunders of course, and of course also the banks and the asset managers, the investment managers that would want to enter that field. And so far, we have seen a tremendous growth in the past few years that is really leading all those players to use our services. So we are very pleased so far.
Great. Sounds exciting. So to get us started and kick us off, you know, just to frame the discussion, can you maybe give us your definition of crowdfunding so that we kind of have that going forward?
Yes, indeed. If we stick to the very, let's say, narrow definition of crowdfunding being capital or equity raising for startups, crowdfunding has been, as I say, really a tool that has been increasingly used by startups. And we have seen a lot of growth, as I said already. Now, on the definition exactly, I think it's important for everyone to understand that in this podcast, we'll be focusing on crowdfunding being a capital and equity products by comparison to the debt product.
Right, yeah, and that should be a distinction that's made because banks traditionally are in the business of debt and not capital and equity, especially when it comes to early stage companies like many of the startups that we are discussing.
So yeah, indeed. And actually, it's interesting to see that in the peer-to-peer finance space, it seems that there are a lot more, in fact, especially in these years, a lot more crowdfunding as capital or as equity products that are being brought to the market. And we don't really see at this stage debt financing models that are as innovative or, shall I say, as much growing as in the capital space.
Right. And that has a little bit to do with the fact that, you know, many banks and the more traditional financial institutions, when looking to place debt, you know, on a company, are looking for things like strong cash flow or, you know, strong asset quality, and you know, a lot of startups don't necessarily have that at that time. So
exactly. Right. Yeah, indeed, I'm talking about the startup segments. I think that's the bulk of our audience today. Mostly you are looking for capital, you are looking for to raise equity or quasi-equity, I should say, and usually not turning to banks to do that. Of course, some banks might help you on some, you know, some for some debt financing or financing receivables or things like that. But at this stage, startups are mostly funded through equity.
Right.
Now, I think talking about the definitions, it's very important to see as well that at this stage, equity and capital raising is still done by actors that are much smaller than banks, and that to a certain extent can resemble more of the crowds. You know, you have business angels, you have small institution investors, small VCs, private equiters. So all these people, all these actors are actually looking from far away as a crowd, in fact. And that's probably how startups would feel when they're trying to tap into that funding source.
Right, exactly. And, you know, things like angel networks and venture capital and private equity have been around for quite some time. And this, you know, what we have now come to know as crowdfunding, whether that's the equity crowdfunding or whether that's a Kickstarter model or whatever it is a pretty nascent market, you know, very new. A lot of people don't know a lot about it. And with that, there's a lot of kind of different ways that it could go. I mean, you know, there's the possibility that crowdfunding doesn't necessarily take off and that, you know, the traditional venture capital and angel networks win out. There's also the possibility that, you know, crowdfunding takes off down the road and has to undergo some format adjustments. And then there's also the possibility, the thing that we all hope for, is that crowdfunding gains momentum in the short term, strong growth right off the bat. So,
yeah, indeed. That's all the scenarios that I'm going to present. In fact, just to close on this introduction, how we're going to present this is actually going to the future scenarios and how crowdfunding may emerge in the few following years. And then look at really what are the implications for startups with this crowdfunding emergence, and then of course the implications for the banks. So with no further delay, on the question of will banks and traditional finance be influenced by crowdfunding, the answer is yes. Yeah, sure, it will influence banks and traditional finance. The question is in which way startups and managers and entrepreneurs will see their funders' relationship evolve in the few following years is the core of the question. Now, if we look at what are the bank's activities in capital raising, in fact, at this stage, well, I'm talking mostly for the European market that I know, of course, a bit better. Banks are not so active, of course, in capital raising.
Sure.
Yeah, they are nearly not existent. Of course, some investment banks do act as intermediaries for medium to large-sized companies through their specialized M&A arms. But at this stage, all I can say is that the traditional business of banks is, of course, debt and not capital or equity.
Right.
Yeah. So, having said that, I think if we look in the different scenarios in which crowdfunding will emerge, there are ways in which traditional finance and banks will really be impacted. So, if you just let me introduce what are the three scenarios I would like to share with you. First scenario is a scenario with, in fact, crowdfunding merely takes off. So being that the current incumbents and the current platforms, the current crowdfunding providers kind of continue to live but not to grow so much. Yeah?
Right, yeah, and that's...
So okay.
Yeah, that's something that I think a lot of the large financial institutions would like, to kind of partition these crowdfunding sources off as kind of a niche market.
Yeah, well, not so much, in fact. And I will come back into that. You might see some very traditional lists, I would say, players that might not want crowdfunding to emerge. But in fact, I will, and that's my point, there might be an advantage for them in seeing crowdfunding platforms emerge.
Okay.
So let me come back to this first scenario. It's the first scenario where indeed the crowdfunding platforms are facing continued regulatory hurdles. There would be adverse selections on the platform, meaning that on the platforms of crowdfunding, mostly bad investments or bad projects actually are being offered. Maybe the platforms don't reach the break-even, or there is a quick, quick recombination of incumbents and the existing crowdfunding platforms. All this is a scenario where startups would not especially see an improved product offering from now. Now, where I agree, and I will come back on that, is that you already have sufficient enough different products and different platforms where you can actually find find equity at this stage. Now, a second scenario we'll look into is the scenario where crowdfunding takes off eventually. Maybe with some format adjustments, maybe with some product adjustments, but it will like take off in a fairly limited time. In this scenario, crowdfunding platforms will gain acceptance, however, with some large compliance costs. And business models adjustments will be needed, of course, you know, like in any evolving and emerging sector. And probably the platforms would reach break-even quite late in their developments.
Right, right.
So that's the second scenario, which is, in my case, in my sense, one of the most likely.
Okay, and then just to touch on that really quickly, since you do think it's one of the most likely scenarios, what kind of business model adjustments do you feel are necessary to pull the crowdfunding market through?
Well, if you look at this stage, you will see that many crowdfunding players are mono business line, mono product, mm-hmm. right? They offer you only one way of being crowdfunded. They offer you only one way of reaching out and contacting investors.
Right.
Probably when I'm talking about product adjustments, of course you have all of the regulatory hurdles that you have to overcome to get a product that is compliant. But more of that is the idea that probably crowdfunding platforms will need to diversify very quickly in the products and services they offer, especially because they will need to reach this break-even. So probably quickly there will be a race for size also in crowdfunding platforms, as there have been in banks, you know, in the banking sector some decades ago already. So that's the answer to that question.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. So then, right, and that's obviously very likely. There's also the possibility kind of a third scenario. So if you want to maybe jump into that.
Yeah, well, the third scenario where, of course, we think many platforms will find them very successful in the future is where crowdfunding gains momentum in the very short term. And it's still a very likely scenario. If we're looking at the gross numbers that we're seeing right now, all the interest in the public, the exploding growth scenario is still very likely. And in that scenario, it's a scenario where, in fact, investors on the platforms find little to no quality issue in the startup investment opportunities, meaning that the platforms are really true, credible alternatives to the usual and traditional funding channels. It's a scenario where the current dominant models and the current dominant platforms will be quickly accepted by the public, and I believe GrowVC is part of them. Mm-hmm. And a scenario where the investors and the regulators also accept them much quicker, maybe because of the economic environment.
Right. Yeah.
And yeah, in that scenario, crowdfunding will quickly reach break-even, and we'll also have an increased investment capacity to reinvest in their own business, offering better products or improvements on the platform, making the experience even more enjoyable. So that's still a very likely scenario, and I think it's very interesting to see how traditional banking and finance sector would react to that scenario as well.
Right. And I think that one of the points you made about how the current economic situation could impact that is very important to note, just because of the fact that we've seen in the last few years the difficulty that a lot of companies have to, you know, accessing capital, and how when the economy takes a downturn, you know, the faucet just gets shut off immediately. So opening up more channels for these companies to access capital and access growth capital is extremely important. So
yeah, I see it as it's a sweetener. It's a sweetener in the way that, you know, this is really an opportunity for the crowdfunding platforms. Certainly. And I think the vision of many platforms when they actually were founded was not per se that, you know. They of course wanted to provide a new funding channel for startups, sorry. But the core idea behind all that was really innovation in the process. Now the fact that economic situation is providing to be an opportunity and also making them even more relevant is kind of for many a chance already. But the fact is, and the truth is, that's a very viable alternative to the traditional finance funding.
Certainly, certainly. As we've talked about a little bit, crowdfunding plays a large role in the growth of startups, and it's really the main focus of many of these crowdfunding platforms right now is getting these startups access to capital. So with that, how are these three scenarios that you mentioned where crowdfunding either doesn't take off, takes off somewhere down the road, or takes off immediately with strong growth, how will those scenarios, what will the implications be for startups?
I think it's important to the startup implications before looking at the banking or the, let's say, the traditional financers. For startups, one thing which is very important to know is that we strongly believe at Loft Finance that crowdfunding will always be available to SMEs from now on. Okay, so in any scenarios, it's absolutely sure that SMEs and of course startups will have access to products and funding channels through the crowdfunding platforms.
Right. I'm sorry. What is an SME?
Small and medium enterprise.
Okay,
it's a very
great
European term.
Okay, great.
So yeah, let's say small companies to medium-sized companies will actually always find crowdfunding sources. That's a belief we've got, and that is already proving true in the current market. If you're looking at the pace at which new models and new platforms are being created in every country. I'm calling from France, from Paris. I know here there are many people thinking and actually doing things in that area, and the European market is very buoyant as well. We also know that there are some big platforms that are actually being operated from Asia. Unfortunately, I don't speak Chinese, but it's always going to be around. And from now on, in a funding strategy, startups have to count on that and to take that into account. Now, the different scenarios will make these products, these funding sources, available in different forms and at different conditions. And that's where I believe a successful financer, a successful entrepreneur, have to really be careful in the people and in the platforms they choose for funding their company. Because the implications are going to be very different depending on the evolution on that market.
Right, right.
It's like when you choose your bank. Well, you're looking for a bank, or like when you're looking for a venture capitalist. You're looking with one with whom you know you will have a long-term, long-standing relationship, possibly have several funding rounds, and that will sustain your business. Yeah? And I believe with the crowdfunding platform is exactly the same, in fact. You have to find the platforms that have all the products you will need at the right price and possibly sustaining your business in the longer term.
Absolutely, absolutely. With that, we'll go ahead and conclude part one of our discussion with Lyle Slusny from LoftFi. To find out more about LoftFi, head to www.loftfi.com. That's LoftFi.com. Be sure to join us for part two coming later this week, where we will continue our discussion of the impact that crowdfunding will have on both startups and on the traditional financial sector. As always, feel free to reach out to me at brett@growvc.com with any comments about the show, or if you're interested in partnering with us in any way. Thanks a lot for tuning in.